What's up, guys? It's another episode of the Prodigal Sons podcast, the podcast that's never been accused of being artificially intelligent. This is episode number 124, and we're going to be learning a little bit about our friends tonight. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Elijah.
Elijah.
That is me. He be me. That be I. Hello, hello.
And what's up?
Hi.
Thomas.
That was amazing, Elijah. I loved it. You're still going at it, too.
Yeah, he's not going to stop. He'll never stop.
Yeah.
He's not a quitter.
Are you listening to music on your headphones?
Just in his head.
What? I was listening to this. No, I'm not listening.
No. And how are we doing tonight, Lisa? Okay. As always.
One of these days.
At least you got a finger. I mean, a thumbs up. At least you got a thumbs up.
I don't think that was a thumb. All right. Elephant in the room. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl or what?
Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Go. There's really nothing to talk about.
Okay. I mean, we just haven't talked since your team.
We lost.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Best Eagles team of all time. I did not.
Hey, Betty, how are you?
I did not leave that night feeling. I was rooting for the other side.
I know you were.
And I know you know I was. I could tell by how mean you were being to me during the Super Bowl. However, I did not feel. I was hoping the entire time that the Eagles would win so that y'all would be happy. And then towards the end, when it looked like it wasn't going to happen, I started feeling really, really badly. And then, yeah.
Is that when you pulled out the Mahomes jersey and put it on?
I mean, after the dance, after the Mahomes dance, which is a limp.
He started making making some really bad puns. You guys got to get out of my home. Like, get out of here.
Well, I went and took a bath with the bath bombs.
We found the quarterback, and we'll be back in the Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm. Oh, you're not going next year? I mean, I think that would be the time, right?
Well, the X factor is the offensive and defensive coordinators.
That's not right. The X factor, yeah. Because the defensive coordinator didn't do his job for the Super Bowl.
That's true. You know, I didn't.
But he did his job all year round.
Yeah, but the game that it counted, he didn't do it.
But he's not there anymore anyway.
So Andy Reid didn't either. Now he's winning Super Bowls.
So the common denominator is.
Who asked you?
I'm just saying, I wanted.
We're going to see how good of a coach we have this year.
And, you know, it was. I will say this. I don't remember. Is it Bradbury? Who was.
The coach?
No. The
coordinator?
At the end of the game, the defender.
Bradbury. Yeah.
I will give him this. He came out the next day and said it was definitely holding.
Yeah, he admitted it.
I was hoping they wouldn't, but they did.
Well, yeah.
But none of us really saw it. I didn't see it.
But at the same time, you know, right off the line, Josh Sweat had hands all in his face and his face mask. He was getting yanked down. But, hey, could have been offsetting penalties, replay third down, but it wasn't. So.
Also, Jalen Hurts could have not, you know, handed the ball to the other team and let him run for a touchdown.
Oh,
touché, wow. Good sir.
Wow. No, actually, you're the one who said it to me. Maybe it was Tom.
No, I said it.
One of you guys said, and it was like, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot all second half, can't leave it up to one call. So. Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, believe
it's not
it or
funny,
not,
we didn't win.
I'm actually curious to see if you thought the same thing. When we converted the 2-point conversion and tied it up in the fourth quarter, that we all screamed and yelled, I still knew we were going to lose that game.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was going the other way.
Then. I didn't. Did you?
There was too much time left.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All I know is the next morning I woke up and I felt awful.
This Super Bowl, I tried to do what I didn't do last Super Bowl.
Stomped right.
I tried to do what I didn't do last Super Bowl, which was the last Super Bowl. I was so tense, and I was so nervous, and I didn't enjoy the ride. I didn't enjoy the moment. I didn't do any celebrating until we got the trophy, until we won. This year, I tried to do it a little bit different. Like, you know what? Have fun. Enjoy the ride. And I got pooped on.
That being said, worst halftime show ever.
I don't believe that.
There was a halftime show?
It was horrible.
I liked it.
Yeah. I think you and your son are the only ones that liked it.
I liked Riri.
Everyone that I've talked to hated it.
I thought they didn't have one this year.
They were probably.
I watched 2 quarters of football, then I took an hour break, and then there was 2 quarters of football.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had one. I just thought that was a really long commercial. That makes more sense because I was trying to figure out what they were advertising.
You saw the Oompa Loompas. Like, you saw them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the next morning I woke up and I felt absolutely awful. But good. It wasn't because of the game. It was because I ate M&Ms, and that's not in my repertoire anymore, and that didn't land well.
What's not in your repertoire?
M&Ms.
Oh, you're dieting.
I'm not dieting.
You have a lifestyle change.
Thank you. I don't eat M&Ms. Tom had, because the Eagles weren't looking so hot, he had like a salad bowl full of M&Ms in front of him, and he was trying to eat his feelings. And
I feel like he's picking on you, Tom.
So, no, he's speaking the truth.
And I said to myself, well, those have peanuts in them. And so I ate some peanuts with M&Ms around them, and that didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
A lot of people dug into those M&Ms too, though.
Did you guys feel like, after the Eagles lost, did you guys feel like going into a dark room and just being with your feelings for several days?
No, because I am a true Philadelphia sports fan, and disappointment is to be expected.
Wow. So you really can't have nice things.
No.
The thing with me is that, so I'll be honest, I woke up Sunday morning, I was excited about the game. I was rooting for the Eagles, and if I don't think they're going to win, then it's kind of like, well, what are you doing, right? But ask any, especially because in the barbershop, there's a lot of football talk. The whole year, I have been saying the Eagles will go to the Super Bowl this year, but they're not going to win it this year.
You said that.
You told me that about 13 weeks ago.
You definitely did say that.
You said if they make it, they're not going to win it.
They're not going to win it this year. I didn't think they would win it this year.
And you know, I still contend, like I said, Pastor Pete didn't understand, but I said during the game, I said, this is why I enjoy being a Jets fan. I never have any expectations that they're going to win.
That's so sad.
No, it's such I think it's wonderful.
I find that hard to believe, because I believe this year you had a little bit of an expectation that they were going to win some of those games.
I didn't have an expectation. I had a hope. There's a difference. I don't go into any game or any season thinking the Jets are going to do any serious damage. I have the hope. I'm an underdog guy. And it may be, I don't know which, if the chicken or the egg came first, if the Jets fandom or the underdog thing came first. But I truly enjoy a team trying to get there. Here's where I struggle. If they ever get there, I don't think I'll like it as much. Because then I think I'll be where you guys are, going, yeah, they won 13 games. Let's see what happens next. Yeah, but they're not going to win this one. Okay, they won that one. But they're not going to win the next one. I think I'll be right there. And then you're watching them in the Super Bowl going, well, this is what I've waited for 20 years for them to do, and I'm not happy about it. Even if they win, then it's like, yeah, well, they can't do it again.
Listen, we lost the game, but it was interesting how Mahomes went into the locker room injured and came back like he hasn't had an injury at all.
You know what happened, though.
Yeah, he ran in there and said, hey, let me get one of those new legs.
No, they didn't. They said they didn't even inject him. I think what happened was he went into the locker room. Jake from State Farm was in there and drew him a bath with the bath bombs.
And a jazz bath.
Special bath.
A jazz bath. Yes.
Special bath bombs.
Yeah, special. Mm,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure Mr. Miyagi came in. He was like,
yeah. They said they just rewrapped it. And he's a tough dude, though. I think he said, I heard him in an interview a few weeks ago.
It's a good attitude, I mean.
Definitely disappointed where I wasn't down on the loss. Got over it quick, and I'm ready for the offseason draft and free agency for next year. Yeah, good attitude. Hi, Amin. And I lost my train of thought because I was reading Amin's post. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about...
Mahomes. Good attitude, because when I've had high ankle sprain. Really bad high ankle sprain. Worst pain in my entire life. Took me like 7 months to walk straight. Dude gets it in one game. He's got to play the next week, and they ask him about it. He goes, "Oh, it's all mental. You just got to block it out."
Mm-hmm. Top notch cortisone.
Yeah.
he's
like, you just tape it up, block it out. I'm like, I couldn't do that.
Listen,
I taped it up and cried about it.
Let's just be real. Like, he got shot up with cortisone or something. Because look,
that's just an anti-inflammatory. That's not a painkiller.
The old guys. Like, I used to hear stories about the old guys, like in the Phillies clubhouse. Like, they used to have candy bowls full of
greenies,
just stuff. You know what I mean?
That's all legal now.
It's just crazy. But
yeah, they're like, hey, you want a big handful or a little handful before we go play this game?
I'm asleep. They just grab a handful of smelling stuff.
Well, you know, after the Super Bowl, who did crawl into a dark hole?
Bradbury?
A-A-Ron.
Oh, did he?
Have you not heard about this?
What did he do?
Have you guys seriously?
Oh, yeah, no, I heard about it.
Okay, Sean's with me.
Yeah, he's on this peyote trail.
He's not, this year he decided not to do the
Pro Bowl
hallucinogenic drugs that he normally does in the off season. Aaron Rodgers. But what he did this year was he's all about finding a deeper consciousness. And so this year, instead of last year was his ayahuasca trip. You guys don't know anything about this?
He's just a weird, he's just a strange dude.
He's a hippie.
He's a hippie. Yeah. He's just a straight up hippie.
You think he was hanging out with Ricky Williams?
No, Ricky Williams is way too tame Ricky for Aaron Rodgers.
You think so?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is doing ayahuasca. Ricky Williams?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different person.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a running back.
Who didn't want to play football because...
Yeah, he was smoking weed, though.
Yeah. He was smoking ganja. He wasn't worried about
it. That wasn't ayahuasca.
Ganja.
Dude, he was living in a tent in the desert. Like the side of a dirt road. Yeah.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, but at least he was just smoking weed. He wasn't taking like peyote and stuff.
That's what we know.
Well,
but anyway, so Aaron Rodgers this year said there is a bit of a fad that's going on among the hippies of trying to find a deeper level of consciousness, and you know, good for them. Now they're trying to find ways to do it without medicinal intervention. One thing they said that will create hallucinations and a deeper consciousness.
You don't eat.
Negative. Is you lock yourself into a absolute darkness. They're called darkness retreats. I cannot believe you guys haven't heard that he's doing this.
Yep.
4 days, he went on a darkness retreat, which is a place that you pay for, and they have a dark room that you go into, absolute 100% darkness.
I'm renting the storage unit tomorrow, and I'm so
storage unit would still have light around the door. You know they don't insulate
take some spray foam insulation. I'll take care of it real quick.
Then you wouldn't be able to open the door. It'd be
so how do you eat?
So there's my understanding is there's the dark room, which is 100% darkness, and then there's an adjacent room that's also dark. Somebody goes in there. There's a slot in the door, and they bring you one meal a day. No phone, no watch, absolutely no entertainment.
No way I could do that.
You lose. That's like a deprivation tank without the water.
So they say what happens is your mind having exactly. It's like the deprivation tanks, the floating tanks. Your mind having absolutely no stimulant, no media, no nothing, starts to wander and starts to find this deeper level of consciousness. And they say it produces some... Anyways, so Tom answered the first question. Could you do it? And if so, how long do you think you could do it?
I know for sure I can't do it. I'll take it a step further. I knew I wouldn't even attempt it.
Well, at first I said, I think I could do it for like 24 hours. Mm-mm. The problem is once you really start thinking about it, if you don't know what time it is, there are times, tell me you guys haven't done this. You fall asleep and you wake up and you had a great nap and all of a sudden like you're so confused, you don't know what time it is. You don't know if you slept for an hour or for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. You don't know what day it is, where you are, that sort of thing, like one of those sleeps. You wake up, you have absolutely no idea if you slept for 12 hours or 20 minutes. You can't see the time. When you wake up, you think your eyes aren't working. Yeah, you panic. And then you have no release for the panic because there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing tangible right there that you can be like, okay, now I know what's going on.
Right. It's okay, I'm looking at daylight outside. Okay, it's my clock says 4 o'clock. Is that a.m. or p.m.? Okay, all right, let's figure this out. No, it's just, I mean, how would you even, he's going to be in there 4 days. How would you even know?
It's not even cheap.
Listen.
Tom's looking it up.
He has money.
How much is it?
Listen, you said you wouldn't be able to do it. When you sat in a dark room for 4 days, number one, that's not for me. But you remember the show Law & Order?
Yeah.
Well, Stabler.
Which one? There was
like SVU. 26.
Okay.
Stabler, at one point, there was something going on, and he was saying how inhumane solitary confinement was. Now, he said, you know what? It can't be that bad. People go to solitary. He went to a jail in the show, And he said,
I actually remember this episode.
He said, yeah. Leave me in here for the weekend, 48 hours. He had light. He had things that he could probably do to stimulate. Like, he saw what was going on.
Oh, you're talking about the actor.
Yeah, the actor.
I thought you were like in the script. Why are you talking about
And he lost track of time, and he almost lost his mind, and that was 2 days with light.
Yeah. Wow. Did he take a little candle like that, or it's just...
No, there's absolute zero light. So I'm looking at one that you're... How much is that? Looked like it was a 5 day, was 11...
Well, this one is... 7 days for $2,100. 3 days for $2,000.
Who's gonna be in the dark for 7 days?
There was a guy who did it for 30.
Five days for $3,500.
Okay, why are we not in this business? I mean, we could zip up a couple of paneling.
How far would it be to travel with that one shed you have?
We'll take one of the warehouses at my shop. We can make 16 rooms in one of those warehouses.
It's interesting. Grilled cheese sandwich. Up. Because the reason I know I can do it is because of my experience in jail, which wasn't dark. It was just me in a room. It wasn't even enclosed. You could see out of the room. And just being in there, not knowing what time it was or when I was going nuts. I can't even imagine going into a dark, complete room and just saying, lock me up.
Well, I don't know. I think it would take about... I was thinking about this. I was like, because I've been thinking about the dark retreat, I was like, I could try this. Our room has blackout shades. I could put black trash bags over the windows, pull the blackout shades. That would kill all the light. I was like, I could go in there and just see what it'd be like for an hour.
But wouldn't it have to be?
I don't know if totally, I can do an hour.
I'm going to guess that room also has to be 100% silent. Like, no noise.
See, my thing is this. And I thought about that too, just like 5 minutes ago. I'm like, all right, what about an hour? But my thing is, if you know going in there that you're going to go in there for an hour, your mind's not going to have time to wonder because you're just going to be thinking, I wonder how much time's left. I'm out of here in an hour.
Right.
And it's got to be like 15 minutes left. And that's what you're just going to be thinking about the time at that point.
Right. There was a guy who talked about, he did it, and he was on the radio talking about it. And he said it took like 5 or 6 hours for him to actually stop. Thinking about the time.
That's the thing. Yeah, an hour wouldn't do it.
So like his mind actually reached like REM sleep while he was awake.
Yeah. So there's the other thing of like, simple stuff like going to the bathroom. There's a toilet in the middle of the room. But I don't know about you guys. How do you check?
For flow fluids.
How do you check that the process is done? You do that visually, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you do it visually. You definitely do. So my question is this too, though, because, you know, to completely not know what time it is, if he's getting fed once a day, is he getting fed at the same time every day?
Yes. And the other thing is I would absolutely freak out about who was running the place. That they were, you know. Were they going to? I mean, I think the door is, you can unlock the door and leave anytime you want. It's not like you're locked in. But I would freak out about, like, what if it's a crazy person who's running the place? And then somebody else, they were talking about it on the radio, and somebody else said, what if you're in there? And then you realize this, you start to believe that somebody else is in there too. like, what if somebody else is just in the corner staring at you?
See, that's the other factor of that, though, the reason it won't work for me. Is because if I knew the door was unlocked, once my mind reaches the state of whatever, then I know that at that point I could just leave and walk out. So I won't really let it go. Like, yeah, it would have to be locked in order for it to...
I think one of us is going to have to do this.
I think Sean's the perfect one to do it.
I don't think Sean would come out.
That's it. I'm done for life. Getting fed once a day. Don't have to be bothered by anyone. I'm not coming out of there ever.
Kids aren't bothering him. He's not yelling.
They open the door. I'm pulling it back. No! Go away!
It's been 32 days. We haven't fed you since day one.
Seems like it's been 10 minutes. Leave me alone.
We only paid for a week of food.
Two more days.
So I was like, I don't even need my brick in here. Well, speaking of food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's on a diet?
Well, speaking of food, so it's gotten to the point in my life, I'm not going to bring anybody else into this.
Just chugging Red Bull, not even eating
that,
anymore.
That I have realized that about 95% of my clothes don't fit me.
Are they too big?
You got 5% left. That's how
And also we had the district interviews, which went fine. None of my suits go this far. It's not even. It's like five. Right here. That's where they come. It's not even close.
Why don't you just borrow one of my?
It's not even close. So
borrow
so,
one of my suits, and then you'll feel skinny again.
So my wife and I don't know.
Claire,
you might still might not fit me.
Maybe one of my old suits.
We went gym shopping yesterday. We went to.
You bought a gym?
Planet Fitness. We went to Orange Theory. We went to LA Fitness, and we went to Anytime. And after going to all those four gyms and doing the math on what it costs with the yearly thing, we decided that we're going to reopen our membership back at the YMCA.
Cool.
And we are both holding ourselves accountable and going to the gym together on Friday.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What about your eating habits?
Eating habits. So the kind of personality I have, and I guess you guys haven't seen it because I haven't gone back to the gym really, is – I'm not the kind of person that says, all right, I'm going to start going to the gym and then I'm going to start doing eating habits. I have to, it's either all in or not. So eating habits come Friday will be completely different for me.
For like the past month and a couple of days, my eating habits have changed. Like I cut out most sugar. I haven't had a regular soda in probably over a month. Now when I drink coffee, it's more
less M&Ms.
Now when I drink coffee, it's more black coffee than, you know, coffee with sugar. I might have one coffee with sugar, but I went from 260 to 242.
Wow. You know, the hardest thing for me, honestly, is going to be the coffee part.
But you know what?
Don't use fake sweetener. Just cut back. I just did. Fake sweetener will kill you.
Dude, just cutting back on soda and bread alone.
What do you mean cut back?
On the sweetener.
How many cups of coffee a day do you drink?
Four.
How much sugar do you put in them?
I don't put any.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about.
I put the sweet cream in it.
Put less. Try putting less. Don't put artificial sugar.
And then I get the mocha from Starbucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'll have one cup of coffee with cream and sugar, and after that, it's all black coffee.
Yeah.
I don't add any more sugar or anything like that. It's my knees were killing me when we were playing basketball.
I know this doesn't sound like a lot, but I am at 185 right now. And I know that you guys are probably like,
I don't know.
185 for me is a lot. A lot. That's what
Andres weighs.
I will tell you to back up with what Elijah just said. I probably wouldn't have said it if Elijah didn't say it. The thing with the I've read a lot of different books and watched a lot of doctors talk about nutrition, that sort of thing. The thing with exercising, it's good. You should do it, absolutely. But at the end of the day, our bodies are magnificent calculators. The body works in miraculous ways. And one of the things that it does is self-preservation. It's made to keep you alive. And it meters out the exercise you do and then will recover itself by other ways. In other words, if you went to the gym once a week, and you should. I'm not trying to – whatever. Just keep this in mind. You go to the gym once a week for an hour and you burn 1,000 calories. Your brain, without you knowing, will automatically put another 1,000 calories into your diet. Throughout the week, you'll have an extra bite here, an extra bite there, and it will automatically balance itself out because that's how we've survived over, you know, centuries. That's the way God made us. But not only that, if you're working out, say you work out half an hour in the morning, what your body will do again without you even realizing it is later on, you'd be doing a task that you'd be normally do standing up, but this time you'll sit down. You know, it's just like your body has a magnificent way of balancing out those calories. So really, everybody says, well, it's half diet and half, you know, exercise. It's really not. It's like 90-10. So you should work out to make you feel good. The endorphins are awesome. The way you feel about yourself is really improved when you work out. You have to hit the diet, though.
I put, like, every morning I was going to Wawa, and I was buying – beforehand, I would like stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I would get like a sandwich, and I would get. And then Dave, we had that talk about what they take out of the food that keeps you hungry.
Fiber.
They take the fiber out
and the water.
Right. So I started just drinking a lot of water, and just what, Sunday, I went to Produce Junction because a fruit salad at Wawa is like $4. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I went to Produce Junction, spent $20. I got grapes, apples, strawberries, blueberries,
yes, sir,
honeydew melon, and every morning I cut all of that up, and a pineapple for $20. And I cut all of that up, and every morning now I'll take the strawberries and blueberries for my oatmeal for breakfast. And during the course of the day, while I'm snacking, I'm just eating the fruit salad. I'm just constantly eating fruit.
Because that's sugar too, but the body breaks it down slower.
And it's a different kind of sugar.
Different kind
of
sugar.
It's a natural sugar.
Yeah.
And then I have carrots at work. And, you know, like today, I ate that Fasnacht thing, which was bad. But I'm still eating less calories than I normally would. I still eat whatever I want. I'm just eating less. It's the moderation. And
well, and you know, like the things that they say you could work into your everyday life, like park at the back of the, you know, park at the last spot and walk in. What you can do those sort of things with your diet too. Like you said, make sure you have fruit on hand if you're hungry. If you normally put sugar on your cereal, put berries on your cereal or something like that. The one thing Lisa started doing that I love is like makes pasta, but with the sauce, she puts a couple of cans of carrots, sliced carrots, you know, like the cans, puts it in the food processor with the sauce, processes it up. You don't even taste them, but you're getting a serving of vegetables with your pasta. Stuff like that.
I'm gonna start preaching on the bike.
There you go. You got to be here for an hour.
Did you have some chicken Alfredo?
What?
Did you have some chicken Alfredo?
Did I have some Alfredo?
Yeah, somebody ratted you out.
Yeah, I had Alfredo today. That was my today. That was my big.
You got ratted out.
Oh, today that was your treat?
Wow. Yeah.
How do you think I knew you had chicken Alfredo? But I had
that. And then he washed it down with a Fasnacht.
No.
And a big glass of chocolate milk.
But I had, because I knew I was going to eat that, I had that for breakfast.
Sure.
There you go.
Like I had that at 9:30 this morning because I knew that was going to be my heaviest meal of the day.
Right.
So as I got hungry during the course of the day, I had my fruit to eat. I'm allowed to have.
I thought she was cool.
I thought she was cool, but that's all right.
Unsweetened tea. That's what Jonathan said. I love unsweetened tea.
But I still drink it.
You get used to it real quick.
Remember, I was drinking
it. I put honey in mine.
The thing we noticed with our diet, we went whole food plant based, is your taste buds within like 2 weeks will reset to where like a strawberry.
Where you can actually taste food?
Yes, exactly. A strawberry will taste like a strawberry Pop-Tart used to. Like, Your body's like, oh wow, this is what real sweet tastes
before
like.
Before I changed my diet, I hated strawberries. I hated them. And then one day I was like, wow. I was like, this is good.
He just went full Yoda.
Wow. Good decision.
All right. We're doing
Valentine's Day recap.
I got Lisa a card and flowers.
That was one of the funniest cards I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
I sent it to you.
Yeah, that was
cool.
I couldn't bear the thought of going to Hallmark and spending $5 on a card, so I just made one on the computer and I gave her $5.
No, that was pretty cool. My wife, Claire, actually texted me about a month before Thanksgiving a link to this book that she wanted with women in the Bible, and she put Valentine's Day, cough, cough. And I didn't bring it up. I didn't respond to the text message. I didn't do anything.
4 months early.
But a month.
Were there women before Thanksgiving?
No, a month before. That's what you heard for a month before Valentine's Day.
Oh, but you said Thanksgiving. That's what threw me off.
Did
you said Thanksgiving. Yeah.
That's what I was like,
man, she took
eating.
You 4 months.
He's like thinking about a turkey
leg. I can't
wait
for the Thanksgiving dinner.
He's like turkey leg.
You're already ahead, buddy.
Yeah.
That's funny. There were women in the Bible?
Yeah. So I got her that book. And then the hard thing for me is that when I buy something for somebody, I can't hold on to it. I have to give it to them. But I actually held on to it till Valentine's Day morning. I gave it to her, and she was shocked that I got it. And listen.
I think she's more shocked that you listened.
You guys, have you gone to Harvest yet? In Collegeville? Harvest in Collegeville, Harvest Restaurant?
No.
Highly recommend.
Why is he only telling
where is it?
Lisa?
Because you guys
single people can't go?
That's because.
Is that like. You're not allowed to go to a restaurant if you're single. It's like you're not allowed to go. You can't eat if you're single.
What really happened was a couple seconds.
Wise, we're just gonna have to go sit in a dark room by ourselves for like a week or something. Like we just
you can do the podcast that you guys do every once in a while over there by yourselves, like you were doing a minute ago, which is why he started talking to me because you guys just started chatting amongst yourselves.
Because you guys were talking about Valentine's Day dates and neither one of us had one, so that was your portion of the show.
All right, so that's why I was talking to them.
You guys,
and we just
why didn't you guys go out?
We was just
I did go out.
I hung out with the kids.
Should have hung out with each other.
Yeah, you actually did. Where did you go? You went to a restaurant. The
kids and I went to Applebee's.
Nice.
And me and I took the kids to Applebee's.
Okay, then why are you
doing next time let me know. We'll do it together.
Yes. I can't say that on air. All right. Yeah.
Okay, so what's Harvest?
So it's in the Providence Town Shopping Center, the big shopping center.
Yeah,
And it's really cool. So they get all their foods from local farmers.
And they only serve couples.
on their restaurant, they have the farmers that they currently use to get all their food.
That's awesome.
But it was the most delicious food and the most excellent service we've ever had.
Awesome. So it's local stuff.
Trouble. Local stuff. That's, you guys
probably tasted good because of the PowerPoint. Yeah. Is it glowing? It's like, this is a local potato. Why is it green? No, nah, I'm just kidding. We'll check it out.
I really think you guys would like it. You guys would like it. I'm sorry.
Except for the sign up front that says no single people allowed.
Well, that's why you go in together. All right. Did anybody care about the All-Star game?
Not really.
The what? Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Mac McClung crushed it, though.
I heard that he did. I was going to look up some highlights.
Oh, you should have.
I meant to turn on the slam dunk contest.
I saw that thing between him and Shaq right before he started.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And he's a B leaguer. So that was really cool.
He went from the G League to the 76ers gave him like a 2-day contract to wear their uniform, but then he didn't anyway or something.
He wore it.
Well, he did.
He was wearing his high school.
His last dunk, he put his high school jersey.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I actually haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. He got up there.
He got up there. It was pretty impressive. But what I would like to know, why can't Daddy be trusted with the kids in the morning?
Yes, please.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, what is that all about?
All right, so Lisa usually gets kids on the school bus, and I leave early for work. So today was like a big ordeal because she had to go do something for school, and I had to get the kids on the school bus. And I didn't.
You had one thing to do.
Well, the thing is, like, I've never gotten them really on the school bus before. I get them off the school bus every once in a while, and the school bus is always 10 minutes late. So I assumed that the school bus would be 10 minutes late in the morning, but apparently they actually watch the clock in the morning. I figured as long as we got out there at the time the bus was supposed to be there, we'd be okay. But Emily was going, "Hey, Dad, we need to go. Hey, Dad, we need to go. Hey, Dad, we need." And I was like, "Give me a second. Like, we're fine. We still got plenty of..." And then we look up, and the school bus is outside driving away. And Emily doesn't handle that sort of thing real well, so she started crying. I was like, no. The school is 6 blocks away. I'm going to drive you to school. And she's still crying. I'm like, because it's upset her routine, and she doesn't do that well.
She was actually just afraid. She's like, my dad's driving me to school. This is crap. I don't want to do this.
Well, she was like, Dad couldn't handle getting me on the bus. There's no way he's going to be able to handle driving me to school. So we drive to the school. And I rolled down the window, and I was like, hey, my daughter normally takes the bus. We missed it. What do we do? They said, well, just pull around the circle and let her out. She'll walk in. We pull around the circle, and I said, all right, Em, have a good day at school and get out and walk. And she was like, you have to come with me. I said, I can't. I got 4 cars behind me that need to leave. Like, you have to get – there's people that will help. And she lost it in the car. And so
that was a good day for us.
So you had to pull up and park and then walk her in, right?
No, I guess that was. I guess that was one option.
He's like, oh, baby, leans over to give her a hug, opens the door, and pushes her out.
Drove off,
just left.
No, I mean, I said, well, you have 2 choices right now. You can get out of the car and go to school, or go to work with me. I don't care.
She jumped out the window.
She opened the door, pushed herself out, and then pushed the truck away.
And so she got out and walked in, and then I saw her after school today, and I said, honey, did you get abducted on the way into school? She said, no. I said, were you able to find the door? She said, yes. I said, were there people to help you? She said, yes. And I said, so was it worth freaking out about? And she said, yes, it was.
I love it.
So that's it. I just can't be trusted with the kids. It was like all week, too. Lisa was like, you have to get her on the school bus. You have to get her on the school bus on Tuesday. You have to get her on the school bus on Tuesday. You have to. And remember, next Tuesday, you have to get her. I was like, God, how dumb does she think I am? Real dumb, apparently.
Dave's going to have 6 alarms set next week.
So at what point did you call your wife and tell her?
I didn't.
Yeah, smart move.
She just found out.
Smart move. Yeah. She just found out.
I'm sure Emily ratted him out as soon as she got home.
So, Tom, are you a pastor yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. But district interviews went really well.
You didn't get your answer?
Thank you for
They said they let him know in the mail, like a credit report.
Byron pretty much
like the
said,
checks in the mail.
Byron pretty much said, you know.
Oh, see, they let me know during mine right then and there.
No. They said they still have to go to the Board of Ministry and talk about all the candidates and stuff.
So maybe it's like when you apply for a credit card and they don't want to say no. They're like, we'll mail it to you.
Yeah, you'll get a letter in the mail in 3 to 4 days.
You did a good job. We'll email you a letter.
Good job, little fella.
No, we got a lot of positive feedback from the people. And he said that in March we'll get the letter.
Is it like the combine, like a whole bunch of pastor candidates?
Yeah, you
show
do like
up
four, yeah, so 40 yard,
they have 40 yard dash,
and 40 yard communion dash.
Yeah, so Claire.
Oh, yeah. 40 yard communion
as fast
yeah,
as
yeah,
can.
Yeah.
Russ Tittany was there.
Yeah, Russ is a good man.
He was on his third interview.
Yo, that's funny.
But yeah, Claire and I were the only first interviewees there.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody else was on their second, thirds. Yeah.
That's funny, yo.
But once I get that letter, I will be inviting the whole church to district assembly.
Cool.
That's funny.
I'm only going if you're going to be a pastor. And I'm only going for like 5 minutes.
So you have to stay.
Like, you better text me like as they're calling your name to come up, and I'll drive down real quick.
Yeah, it's right at Fairview Village. It's not that far.
All right.
Was it at Fairview Village this year?
Yeah. Text me like 15 minutes.
No, like when I got mine, I had to drive 3 hours away.
And I was there for you.
You were. I appreciate that. I'll come to yours. For you.
Text me like 15 minutes before they call your name.
Oh, let's talk about that real quick, because at that point, Pastor Pete thought he had jokes, right? So Sean went for his district interview. But what Pastor Pete forgot to tell us is that people dress up for this event, right? So me and Sean, I have like a polo t-shirt and literally shorts and stuff. And we're hanging out and we're like, man, everyone's wearing like suits. Some people are wearing tuxedos. Like, everyone's really dressed up.
And we're both in like button down
polos. Fast forward later on, we saw Pastor Pete and he's like, so how was it? And he has the smirk on his face. I'm like, you didn't tell us how they dress. I'm like, I know, I thought it'd be funny.
He did too. Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. He did not tell us we had to dress up for this thing. And it's funny because it's a 3-day thing. So, you know, everyone's dressed down for the NMI convention.
Yep.
The first day. So I literally, and then in the morning they have something. So I just kept the same clothes I had on. Here everyone went back, got changed, got really dressed up, and then came back out and we're like,
Tom looks like yesterday. Oh, Tom, Deja Vu. Is that your last name? Deja Vu.
But we're excited. We're excited. It'll be cool to have, you know, both my wife and I getting district license together.
Your wife, Claire?
My wife, Claire, who's upstairs doing a Bible study right now. Guys, if you don't want to listen to the podcast, I have an out for you. There's a Bible study going on right now upstairs that my wife, Claire, is running.
Is it online, too? Is it streaming?
She was going to stream it, but no one told her that they were going to be on Zoom, so she didn't. But if people want to join via Zoom, she
Because really what would help us out is if you streamed both at the same time. It would help our numbers. I mean,
we'll have a little window of hers in the corner of our show.
I'm still stuck on why we're not like the four of us running a darkness retreat.
Seriously.
We should
try it now. Just turn these lights off.
We should like lock them in though.
Ooh,
like we should run like the ultimate. And then like Sean could be sitting in the corner and they wouldn't know. And
you ready?
After like 24 hours, he'd just be like, hey.
All right, look.
Just have like a little thing.
Explain
like,
to the viewers.
Play with a cat.
Explain to the listeners what's about to happen. Y'all ready for the darkness retreat?
he closed his eyes.
Voila. Did I have to pay thousands of dollars for that? No.
Actually, that's true. Right before we went on the air, I went on like a 3-minute darkness retreat. It was nice. It was nice. I almost fell asleep.
And we ruined it.
I go one on one every night.
Like 6 hours at a time.
Every night I'm on one. I do fine.
And you don't have to pay anybody for it.
That's
funny. All right. Last thing. Do you guys, have you heard anything about this AI voice stuff that's going on?
Allen Iverson's voice? What are you talking about?
The artificial intelligence voice.
Where your voice can sound like somebody else?
Well, yes and no. So apparently they have a couple different types, and I'm not really up on this, so I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong. So correct me if you're listening and know better than I do. You can take a public figure who's spoken a lot. You can feed those, like a radio personality or a sports figure who's given a lot of interviews. You can feed that to a computer. And then you can basically write anything you want, and it'll say it in that person's voice.
So, like, if you want a Harry Kyle is to do something like that.
You could speak and it'll change it to that. Right. And like, we could make your voice right now Harry Callis. And I'm thinking, scary. Like, isn't that a like, you can make any public figure say anything, mm-hmm. but then anytime a public figure actually says something inappropriate, it could be just like, oh, well, it was AI.
I'm telling you, ever since I watched Rise of the Machines, man.
We are living in a bit of a scary
That was
world
what, the
today.
80s? Terminator 2 was what, yes. the 80s?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They saw it all coming.
Yeah. Skynet, man.
It's amazing how like technology just keeps advancing and growing.
It's
right?
not amazing, it's scary.
It is scary. But listen to what 2 Peter 3:17-18 says.
Oh, tell me, please.
Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Right. And he's telling us here to grow in grace and knowledge. Right. It's not like growing in yourself or like a plant grows. It's growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And today's episode is really cool. Sean actually came up with the idea of, we did our testimonies back in the day, and we've replayed them a couple times when we had off. But what has God been doing in our lives to grow us? You know, since we started the podcast, what has he been doing in our lives to get us to where we are now? What ministries are we currently running to get us to now? And so the way we're going to do it is, this week we're going to open up the mic to our brother Sean, our brother Elijah, and then next week Dave and I are going to talk about what's going on in our lives. So take it away, guys. I'm excited to see what the Lord is doing in your lives and how you're growing and what's going on.
You can go if you want.
Don't be artificially intelligent, though. He's genuinely intelligent.
Yes.
Well, I gave my testimony, and right, I think it was after. I have a bad concept of time, but I think it was after I gave my testimony a little while after. No. It was, okay. So I gave my testimony when I was going through a really, really, really dark time in my life. You know, some things have changed, you know, after I gave my testimony. And the way they've changed was, I've learned a lot. I've seen a lot. I've felt a lot. And I've done a lot. All by the grace of God. All the lessons that I've learned, the people that I've met, the company that I used to keep has changed. My heart has gotten even bigger, and I've just become closer to God. Like, I'm more in tune with my children. I'm more in tune with the Lord. I'm more in tune with the community. I'm more in tune with others that need help, others that need guidance. is how can I say? I've inserted myself in the church more.
Absolutely, you have.
I'm around more. I'm willing to help out more. Because I've realized that before my testimony, I kind of had that feeling of, you know, why can't I? Why me? Why is this happening? Is it going to get better? Nobody cares. And that all turned to 180. It turned into a 180. Once I, several times, dropped to my knees and just praise God and thank them for, even though I'm going through rough times, I'm still waking up in the morning and I'm still able to push forward. That opened my eyes to see other people's struggles and I can help them out. Always looking for the good in people, even though at times they may not present their best face, look deeper than that. The basketball ministry that was started, there's so many people that come to that ministry that need it. And there's times where I may not want to go, I may just want to hang out with my kids. But some of the stories that we hear, that Pastor Tom and I hear from some of the guys there that show up to that ministry, it's necessary. And when you're a servant of God, sacrifices have to be made. Mm-hmm. They just have to be, whether you want to or not. When you feel you're being called to do something, you don't question it. You just do it.
Amen.
And that's where I think a lot of my growth has come from, has come, even financially when there's money involved. Like, if there's somebody who needs something and I have it without thinking about where mine is going to come from, I'll give. Because there's plenty of people who've done that for me. Like, it goes as simple as if I'm at Dunkin' Donuts and I'm getting a coffee, just something will hit me and say, pay for whoever's behind you. And I'm like, I don't question it. I just do it. Sometimes the bill might be a little high, but I'm like, you know what? I heard, do it. So I'll just do it.
Don't think, just do it.
Yeah.
Especially, like now, I'm going to follow you to Dunkin' Donuts.
And it never seems to backfire. Like, it always seems that it's like, you know, just being right with God just puts you in a different place, a different mindset, a different everything. And just from my testimony and not going to church and not following the Lord and everything like that, like, of course, I'm still flawed. I'm not perfect. I'm always going to be a work in progress. But I know my worth. I know God loves me, and I know I'm here because of him, and I know I can keep pushing because of him, and that's what I continue to do. So from my testimony to now, through all the ups and downs, life has still been great because I'm still breathing. I'm still here. I still fellowship. I still attend the church, and I still do ministry work. So
I'd like to say something real quick. When I first... not first, because I got it when I was six, but when I got my calling the second time after I was sanctified, the first person I went was to Sean. Sean told me enroll in Nazarene Bible College. The first course I took was spiritual formation. In that course, I learned that the way to work and grow your relationship with God is by working and growing your relationship with people. And that's exactly what you've been doing. When we first started doing this basketball ministry, you said this isn't good enough. You went on the streets and you started going to the street basketball courts and building relationships and telling them to come in here, right? That sacrifice that you make where there's times, and I'm there with you because you always text me, hey, you're going to be a basketball. I'm like, no, I can't. But that sacrifice that you make for these guys is starting to spill over into the way that they act. Right?
Yeah.
We have seen such a growth, and it's all glory to God,
mm-hmm.
right? But you have been able to work on relationships individually, even tough ones with people in your life that mm-hmm. you don't want to deal with, but you've been working on even the tough relationships. You're not choosing, hey, this guy's easy to get along with, so I'm going to build on a relationship with him. No, you're literally building relationships with everyone that God is putting in front of you, and through that, the Holy Spirit is able to fill you and overflow you with the fruits of the Spirit that are just overflowing to other people now. And it's been a beautiful thing. I'm going to say one more thing and then shut up because I know this is your show. I had Chris Pooley come in today and just say the nicest things about you. He said that you're one of the reasons that he's still here with us. He said you're his accountable partner. Accountability is huge. That's what we have here. These are our accountability. And he was raving about you and the respect that he has for you. You're always there for him. And I love the fact that you're a single father, but yet you get that call of like, well, this doesn't make sense. I got to be with my kids, but I'm going to say yes. And you're working on those relationships. And I want you to know that I have noticed. Dave's noticed, we've all noticed, and yep. It's because of those relationships that you're building that this church is, you're a big part of the reason why this church is growing, brother. And I needed to let you know that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like what you said about you hear the voice say do it and you just do it. I mean, that's one of the things that I've done over the years, and you don't ever regret it. There's never anything that God tells you to do. Just don't hesitate. I mean, you just learn to go, okay, no problem.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Good luck following that up, Sean.
I think mine's going to be worse than that. But you said about accountability and stuff, and I'm going to lay some stuff on the table tonight that you guys probably don't know, and definitely people watching and listening don't know. I have been agonizing over this for the last 2 weeks. I don't know why I even suggested doing it, but that wasn't for me to decide. That was something that came otherwise. But I know where Elijah's at. I had a season like that where peace and joy were over everything. But I'm going to be honest, and because you said about accountability, and I have not been holding myself accountable with you guys, with anybody, to be honest. I'm coming out of the worst season I've ever had in my entire life. The last year has been miserable. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not going to try and pretend anymore. I'm not going to act like it didn't happen. There were times that I wasn't sure in the last year that I would wake myself up the next day. I wasn't going to try and kill myself, but I didn't want to either. It's been bad. It was a bad season. There was depression and there was anger and there was a lot of things that happened and a lot of things I wasn't processing well and a lot of things I never reached out and I reclused myself and I there were days I couldn't get out of bed. I would call off work because I just couldn't physically or mentally push myself to get out of bed for the day. And I'm angry about that. I'm going to be honest. I'm angry at myself for doing that. Not so much anymore for the last year or so. It's been a tough season, but let's call it what it was. It was a season. Mm-hmm. It was a chapter in my life and a long book of life. It's not over. And now... I say all that because we're real. We want to be real with it, and I want to be real with you guys, and I don't want to keep that. That was, like I said, it was miserable. I know you guys got little bits and pieces here and there, and I was very cryptic, and I was just, that's part of the old me. It's who I used to, I wouldn't get anybody involved. But what hurt the most for me during that season was the fact that even when I was like that before, I would still try to reach out and help other people, and I didn't even do that. I wasn't in church for 6 months anywhere. I wasn't watching, wasn't attending, wasn't doing anything. I wasn't in the Bible. I wasn't praying. I wasn't nothing. I just went numb and just kind of just shut down. And it took a lot to pull up, and it was funny because there was still things happening, there was still things going on, and there was people reaching out, and it wasn't all bad. But let's be honest, God never leaves you in a bad. There's a learning situation. I can see it now. I couldn't then, but I can see it now. Now that I'm on the healing side of things, and so I say all that to say that there are going to be times that this gets going to be bad. It's not going to all be good.
That's right.
Jesus never said you're going to have a perfect life because you. He didn't say follow me to have the perfect life. He said you will be tried, you will be persecuted because I was first persecuted. And so the amazing part is, the things that I've come to realize is through it all, like you're saying, we got to stick together. We got to hold each other. You got to reach out like. Even Christ didn't carry the cross all the way by himself. Not that he couldn't, but he didn't. He had to show us that it's okay to reach out. It's okay to get help. It's okay to stumble. It's okay to fall. It's not okay to stay there.
Yeah.
It's not okay to stay on the ground and not pick yourself up and allow him to move you forward. And that's where I'm realizing now is I've got to move forward. In it all, no matter what happens, when there is a mountain in your way, if God says move, the mountain will jump in the ocean.
That's right.
But it doesn't always jump in the ocean. Sometimes it's a grain of sand at a time. It's a pebble at a time. It's a truckload of dirt at a time. It's a rock, a boulder at a time. But when you're not willing to see those little things moving,
That's where you need to open your eyes, and you need to be accountable. You need to be in prayer. You need to be with other people. You need to be, you know, confiding, and you need to be, you know, getting the weight off your shoulders, because then you'll see those little things moving. If the mountain moves one grain of sand at a time, it's still moving. He's not letting you down. Yeah. It's not working the way you wanted it to. And I think for me, the hard part was the fact that I let myself fall in. And I had somebody had asked me a question a couple of months ago, which kind of kick-started me out of my funk, my bad season. And the question was, how would you minister to somebody in your same situation? And that was kicked me right in the chest. Like, it knocked all the wind out of me. And I said, man, not the way I've been living, for sure. Absolutely not the way I've been living. And so it's not over. And, you know, for me, this is just it's a new chapter. I'm just going to start a new chapter. And as Pastor Tom is going into Geddes District, I am laying down my minister's license. As of April, I will no longer hold a ministry license anywhere. That's not a bad thing. I think I need some time to heal and to figure some things out, go into the next season, figure out where I'm headed. My plan and my goal is to fully pick it up back next year, get back into the swing of things. But I'm going to take a year and figure things out. I think with the season I went through, I there was a lot of things I realized. One, that I thought I knew better than I did. I think we all do that. Mm-hmm. But I thought I was in a good place. I just think I ran ahead of the plan, and then I tried to grab on to all the things that were around me that were comfortable. Yep. And then I fell way behind in the plan. And I messed up some other people along the way, I think. Not intentionally, but I just, from things that I've seen happen since I've been removed from equations, things have gotten better. But another realization that they've got, just give me, just a couple nights ago, there's a situation that, you know, I won't go into, but it's a situation that always bothers me. Like, it just brings up everything in me every time it happens. And I was thinking about it the other night, and I was like, God, you know, I've asked you like a million times to just take this. Like, can you just deal with this? Can you do something to fix this situation? And I'm sitting there, and it hit me like a lightning bolt. And he goes, I did. I asked you to deal with it. That's why I keep bringing it to you. That's why it keeps coming to you. And you're not, because you're not in a good place, and so you're not helping the situation that I've asked you to help. So I've had a lot in the last couple of weeks. That's just been, God has just been amazing. You know, I'm trying to read every day. I'm not going to lie and say I read the Bible every day, but I'm trying to get in there 3-4 times a week minimum. Definitely getting on a better track than I was. I am attending again. I'm back at Birdsboro. I did switch my membership from here back to Birdsboro. I felt was better for me. It's nothing against the church, nothing against anybody in the room. I just felt it was more healthy and better for me in the situation that I'm coming out of and going into. I just felt like that was the right thing for me. And so, you know, and you know, I don't plan on leaving here. This is the best, you know, I still want to be here with you guys. I still think this is where I need to be. But things, you know, there need to be a change. I wasn't, I'll be honest, before Pastor Pete went out with his time off, before everything happened, months before that, I knew I should have gone out and stepped away for a while. And I ignored it, and I was like, I can do this. And that's where I was holding on to the things that were comfortable and the things that brought me peace. And that's was ultimately pride will get you every time. And so I was going to say, like, through it all, in hindsight, now when I look back, there was not a moment of any of that that I can look back and say God wasn't standing there the whole time. Jesus wasn't standing there when I was miserable at home crying for no reason. He wasn't sitting there holding me, and he wasn't saying, listen, I'm here. You're not alone. You know, because there's a lot of days it felt like I was. A lot of days I just felt like nobody cared. A lot of days I felt like it was just me against the world, and it wasn't. And then, you know, I think now you guys, and I want to apologize to you guys for not including you in that time. It just it was a very selfish time for me. That's how I'm looking at it now. It wasn't intentional, but it was definitely a time where I just felt like I had taken myself out of anything, and I don't think that helped myself or anybody else around me. There's a lot of questions, a lot of like what's going on, and nobody knows, and I wasn't sharing. So But the good news is, like I said, I'm on the healing side of things, and I'm watching my mountain move. One piece of grain of salt, sand at a time, one pebble at a time, one rock at a time. I can see the mountain moving, and that's the important thing, that through it all, God never left. He never walked away from me, never forsaken me. There's always that thing. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good seasons. You're going to have bad seasons. The good thing is to surround yourself with people that you know will help you through a bad season. You know, when somebody else is going through a blight season, somebody else is going through a prosperity season. So you got to lean on each other. We carry the weight together. So the important thing is, if anybody's in a situation where they feel like it's out of control, or it's you, please reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody in your circle. You can reach out to me. I'm sure any of these guys here would listen. Don't stay in a situation. Don't live in a situation that wasn't meant for a lifetime. See it for what it is. Live it for what it is. Learn from it what it needs to be learned, and move on to get to where you're supposed to be.
So I like to chime in.
Okay.
So I personally feel that I owe you an apology.
For?
And the reason I say that.
Same here.
And well, I wasn't going to bring the brothers in, but I personally feel like I owe you an apology, because this accountability thing works both ways, okay? And there was times I knew you were struggling. You could try and hide it all you want and try to live hopeful and do all that stuff. I knew you were struggling. I talked to my brothers in Christ about you struggling.
Don't bring me in.
And the reason I want to apologize to you is because I let what the Lord was doing in my life get in the way of reaching out to you as a friend. Let me explain that.
Okay.
The mentality behind it was, and I spoke to a couple of my of mentors about this that are not in the district, and I was like, I want to reach out to him, and I want to help him, but I don't want, and maybe there was ego in that, now that I think about it. I don't want him to think like, oh, look at this guy. He's filling in for the pastor, and now he feels like calling me and making sure I was okay. And so those were the spiritual warfare, which we're going to have an episode, I believe, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks about that.
Yep.
But those were the spiritual warfares that I was going on. I know that me and him spent hours talking about what can we do, what can we do, what can we do. But the reason I owe you an apology is because the what can we do, what can we do, what can we do didn't do anything, right? I didn't pick up the phone and say, Sean, can I listen, I know that you're probably fine and stuff, but the Lord put it in my heart to pray for you. You know, so I do owe you an apology, because not as a pastor, forget the pastor thing, as your friend and as an accountability friend and partner in ministry, I should have reached out to you, and I didn't. Well, and for that, I apologize.
Well, I appreciate that. But the other side of that is, in that time, I was praying away everything. So in all honesty, you don't owe me an apology, because I was praying to be left alone. I was praying to be in my own thing. These were the thoughts that were running through my head. So I still think, in all of it, and I love that God did this. He gives us what we want, right? Like he will give you exactly what you ask for if that's what you ask for. So I don't blame any. Please don't feel like this. I just needed to get this off my chest and let everybody know, because you know we're real, right? We're going to be real. We're going to be honest. We're going to be vulnerable with everything. I didn't want. That was the other thing. I didn't want anybody to be there, because again, pride. Why can I not pull myself out of this on my own? I don't need anybody else. These are the thoughts that invade my head. These aren't natural thoughts. Again, it's spiritual warfare. These are the thoughts that you let dig in. When you have a problem and these things start just grinding into the back of your head, it wasn't what I would normally think. It's not what I would normally do. But it's just those things, that spiritual warfare that comes in and it just grinds at you and it grinds at you. And then all of a sudden you start to believe that a little bit. You start to believe that nobody cares. You start to believe you don't want anybody there. You start to believe that you're just better off doing your own thing and staying away from people. And that was the hard part for me. Like I said, I just think that in the picture, in the scheme and in the season of it, I don't think it would have worked if you would even try. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not trying to push you. I think you would have just gotten a fake answer that would have been of no use to either of us at that point in time. So.
Know this, though, and this I speak with complete honesty. You, my brother, in the last 6 months have been prayed for a lot.
I know. I can feel it.
We have not, all of us have not stopped praying for whatever warfare you were going through.
I don't apologize because I called him.
Yeah. I know you did.
And you know what?
And I turned in my ministry license a long time ago.
And when he said, and when you said you were praying people away, most of the times if I reach out to you, you're like, yeah, I'm around, come on through. But I think a few times you was like, I'm not going to be around that day or something like that. And that's not usually how you are.